Pastor Wynn Greer of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina, and you are listening to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. I want to welcome you today. We do appreciate all of our listeners. We hope you'll stay with us for the next 30 minutes. Today is Veterans Day, or if you are listening on WZAP or 89.1 FM, we'll just call it Veterans Week. You got a delay there of just a little bit, but we're live in the studio today. It's Veterans Day, and I want to say happy Veterans Day to all of our veterans. We have been studying for several weeks now the subject of Heroes of Liberty, and taking just a different individual or group of individuals every week and studying about their unique contribution to the subject of liberty. And so today is just perfect because we're going to study and look at several different veterans. We're going to look at some veterans, and so I'm excited about it today. We're going to try to get right into it. We have a special guest with us today. A veteran himself and a fellow pastor, Brother Rick Cornejo. He is the pastor of the Mount Paran Baptist Church, and he's been with us several times over the past few years, so we appreciate him. Brother Rick, how are you today? Good to have you.
I'm doing really well. And you?
I'm doing real good. Beautiful day, and thank the Lord for that. I'm enjoying this Arctic snap we're supposed to get, I guess.
At least the sun's shining.
It's warm. Me and Mike have on short sleeve shirts still. I'm going to milk that as long as I can. I'm not a cold weather person. But anyway, that's for another day, and that's likely to change before the week's out. Veterans Day and veterans. Before we get started today, one thing that we wanted to do was tell about the different businesses that are offering some discounts and meals and things. And even if you hear this, you know, it might be too late. If you go to one of these businesses, thank them, because that's a big deal. If you go all across the country or even locally and you offer somebody a meal in a restaurant, that surely costs them something.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's a big output to all of our companies, and we're very appreciative that they took the time to do this. And they grow every year. We add more and more to the list. We started out several years ago with Golden Corral, who is still doing it. Their free meal won't be until Monday the 17th. But there are a lot here in town that are giving out different freebies to veterans. If you go there, you need to have some kind of verification that you are a veteran. And North Carolina has now given us the opportunity as veterans to have it put on our driver's license. And that helps, and especially in some of the programs like Lowe's Hardware gives a 10% discount. So if you have that, and not just today, but they do it all the time.
Oh, yeah. So, my wife and I did a little project a while back, and somebody told me about that discount at Lowe's. And, you know, we went over there and bought some flooring and stuff, and it saved us a substantial amount. And I really, that,
yeah, 10%
that was
doesn't
nice.
Sound like much,
yeah,
but when you're buying some of the items that you need, that's a nice little chunk of change.
Yeah, it is. It does add
and
up.
It's really nice that Lowe's does that.
So. What about today? What's
well, today we've got several restaurants. Subway is giving away a free 6-inch sub, and here again, just with verification that you're a veteran. Applebee's has a limited menu that you can get free entrees off of the meal. Minchie's, the frozen yogurt place, is giving active duty member or veterans a free 6-ounce frozen yogurt. Olive Garden, and I mention that because we've got one real close now down in Hooksboro. They're doing a meal. Outback Steakhouse is doing their free blooming onion and a drink. But they also have active and former service members get 15% off their meals from the 12th tomorrow through the end of the year.
Wow.
So they've extended their benefit.
That's a So it's not going to hit them all at once.
No, it's not going to. Yeah, that, you don't have a whole crowd that comes running in.
I need to get a piece of paper here and make a list of places to go and everything.
Chili's is doing a free lunch combo or a free meal from their special menu. Chick-fil-A is doing a free meal to veterans in active duty. IHOP, our new restaurant over here next door,
yes,
is doing a free red, white, and blue pancakes or red, white, and blue pancake combo plate, which includes eggs, bacon, and hash browns from 7 this morning until 7 tonight. And then we have Dollar General is doing a 10% discount to veterans today. And Moe's Boots normally does 20% discount. So you might want to ask them if you run by there. If you need some good boots for the winter, check them out.
That sounds good. Especially the all of them, we do appreciate. But the Outback Steakhouse, maybe if you can't get down there today. I mean, my dad and I were talking about, you know, are you going to go somewhere today? And he said, you can only eat so much.
That's right. I mean, there's only so many places that you can eat at one time.
Yeah. So Outback is extended through the end of the year. If you just let them know, giving a discount. Lowe's Hardware, they always give a 10% discount. What was the Golden Corral? Is Monday.
I've been doing that for about 10 years, I think.
So the Monday after. Yeah. So that's a lot of options, and certainly want our veterans to take advantage of that. So
it's kind of amazing to me, being a Vietnam era vet. You know, when we came home from Vietnam, there was anything but thank yous, and now to have them be so appreciative of the veterans, it really makes me feel really good.
Yeah,
that they're willing to do that for us.
Right, and that's good that mindset's changed in our nation.
Absolutely.
So we're certainly glad for that. Veterans, well, service members, you know, that there's a lot of sacrifice involved. Mm-hmm. Even if you know, not everybody goes to war and maybe even sees anything like that. And like we were talking yesterday, you know, I basically, when I talk to people about what I did, I just basically had a job and it was boring. And I had maybe one or two things I could tell as a story about being exciting. But that's pretty much most people that join the military. They have a job and it is boring, and there's a lot of training and there's a lot of aggravation.
There might be one big exciting full-blown whatever that you might brag about to your grandkids, but most of the time it's, you know, you just go through the job just like anybody else. But you're away from home, and this time of year bothers me the most is because I always remember when I was in the Navy, we were never home for Thanksgiving or Christmas.
Yeah,
we were always in some other country, and it's really hard.
Oh yeah,
to you know, because everybody thinks of, you know, home with the family for Thanksgiving and home with the family for Christmas.
Right.
And I don't care what beautiful garden spot of the world you think there is, there's nothing like being home for the holidays.
No, that's true. When I was in the Air Force, I was 3 years in England. Of course, I was married, but we never came home for Thanksgiving, Christmas. So our church family became our family.
Exactly.
And we had some great memories and times, but we'd always get together for Thanksgiving, Christmas, and you had this extended family. So that's a lot of the reason why there's such a great bond after you get out of the military, because you went through times of, you spent Thanksgiving together, Christmas together, grandma passes away, you know, things like that. And
there's a lot of people that complain about Facebook.
Yeah.
From my perspective, it's been really good because I've reconnected to a lot of old Navy buddies that I'd lost touch with. And now it's a great way for us to stay in contact and meet up with each other.
Right.
And know what's going on in their lives.
Yeah. I've still got some I would like to find.
Yeah.
And I've not been able to.
I know.
I've looked and searched. You'd think in this day and time, oh, I could just type in somebody's name, but if there's 500 people that have the same name.
Exactly. I mean, it's one thing if their last name's Cornejo, you're probably not going to get too many. But if your last name is Smith.
Yeah, I know.
You're going to find a bunch.
I know. So anyway, that's maybe one day, you know. But I still think about them guys and pray for them.
Well,
they were still living.
They were as close as any family member we've ever had.
Yeah, so I just say, Lord, I don't know where they are or what they're doing, but I hope they know you.
Mm-hmm.
And,
Absolutely.
So anyway, I want us to spend just a little time today in talking about veterans and the American Legion magazine. Now, Brother Rick and I are both members of the local American Legion post here in Boone. And we get a magazine called the American Legion, and they had an article for November called America's Most Beloved Veterans and Why We Honor Them. And there's the top 25, and then it goes into the top 100, which we'll never be able to.
We don't have that kind of time.
No. If we get three or four, I would be happy. But the introduction to that art, and I learned some stuff. There's some of these that I'd never heard of.
Yep.
And just very interesting. And I got to reading the top 25, and it gives a little, couple of paragraphs about their contribution. But the introduction, it says about the beloved veterans, their strength, vigilance, and courage occupy a revered place in the collective conscience of a public made free by the willingness of some to protect all others. And I thought that's a pretty good way to describe the veteran, the willingness of some to protect all others.
Well, the Brigadier General over at the mall just mentioned that out of our nation today, only 7% of our nation are veterans.
Right.
So that's a really small amount when you think about it.
It is. You know, if you go to a high school graduation, now other places may have more, but when I graduated, there was probably four, five, six of us mm-hmm. went directly into the military. But I think that number's way down to what it was.
I think the last one I heard was there was three.
Yeah.
One class. Ashe County sometimes has a few more. But,
right.
You know, when I graduated, of course, Vietnam was still going on. So there wasn't a whole lot of guys that were ready to volunteer to go.
Right.
But the draft went into 73, so some of the folks may have. I know I had signed up in February before I graduated. And when they did the draft for that year, my number was number two.
Right.
So one way or the other, I was going.
You were going either way.
One way or the other.
Well, my mom and dad had to sign for me to. I did the same thing. I signed up in February, and they had to sign a waiver because I wasn't 18 yet, and I didn't turn 18 till October. So I had to wait all that time after I graduated. But when I was thinking about the willingness of some to protect all others, made me think of the passage of Scripture, Mark chapter 12, verse 31, where they came and asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? And he said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and all thy mind and all thy soul. Mm-hmm. Soul. And the second is like unto it. Love thy neighbor as thyself. And service done in the right spirit is exactly that thing. I'm willing to sacrifice on behalf of somebody else so they can be free, so they can be, so they can have a life of liberty, or so they don't have to go, you
exactly.
know. So there's a lot of.
I heard that a lot when I was in the service. I'm in here and I'm staying here because I don't want somebody else's child.
Right.
To have to do this.
Yeah. And so there's a good parallel there, mm-hmm. scriptural parallel, I guess. But let's think about some of these veterans. Number one was Audie Murphy. Of course, he was known as an actor. But it said he was an unlikely hero born into a life of crushing poverty in Texas. Audie Murphy was so scrawny when he tried to enlist after Pearl Harbor that the Marine Corps and the paratroopers wouldn't take him. He joined the infantry. Even there, his officers suggested a non-combat role. Instead, Murphy became a frontline warrior and one of history's most decorated combat veterans. But he wasn't fearless on the battlefield. Fear is right there beside you, he wrote. Murphy was an everyman who found and lost himself in war.
And I think that's why everybody relates to him. That's exactly why he wound up being number one. Is everybody can relate to Audie Murphy. He wasn't the tough, you know, thinking about Navy SEALs, Green Beret, Rangers, whatever. He was just the average kid off the farm. He even said one time, imagine how little I'd have been if I hadn't been born in Texas, because they used to pick on him for being small.
That's pretty good. Have you got one you wanted to mention there?
Well, one of the first ones that I come across other than with Audie Murphy and, of course, our First President George Washington, was an actor that we always think about as an actor, which is Jimmy Stewart, who retired from the Air Force as a brigadier general and actually flew actual combat missions. We think about people who joined the military to serve, but we didn't think about, like in the 1930s and 40s, actors who actually joined the military, gave up their acting career and their lifestyle to serve their country. I mean, we have Jimmy Stewart, who's number 11 out of the top 25.
Right.
Yeah, we had Bill Cosby is in there as one of those. Ed McMahon, you know, Johnny Carson's famous sidekick was a Marine. He's in the top 100.
Right.
We don't think about that today because most of our people in the acting profession or entertainment profession don't sacrifice. The only one that comes to mind is the one we were talking about yesterday in Pat Tillman.
Right.
Who also happens to be one of the top 25.
Yeah.
That seems like they sacrifice quite a bit for something they truly believed in.
I didn't realize that Jimmy Stewart was a brigadier general. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's way up there.
Glenn Ford retired as a Navy captain.
Yeah.
You know, that's, you're saying in service for a while.
Yeah.
To get that high.
Yeah. Jimmy Stewart, 27 years, I think it was. Retired after 27 years. But one thing I noticed about him, it said, the on-screen, honest, straightforward, and humble everyman persona audiences loved was the same off-screen. His post-war movie contracts contained a clause that prevented studios from capitalizing on his military and war records.
Exactly. He wasn't bragging about it.
Yeah, he had it put into his contracts. You know, we're not going to make money off of this. And that was interesting about Jimmy Stewart. I didn't realize he was that high-ranked. Beside of him, number 12, was a gentleman named Dory Miller. Mm-hmm. And this is something I did not know. I'd never heard of him before. But it says, sometimes the war hero is a cook third class, like Dory Miller, his ship's heavyweight boxing champ and Navy Cross recipient, who dashed to the bridge to save the life of his mortally wounded skipper, Captain Mervyn S. Binion, during the December 7, 1941 attack on Pearl Harbor. With no training for the task, Miller also manned a 50 caliber Browning anti-aircraft machine gun until it ran out of ammunition, perhaps even downing one of the attacking Japanese aircraft. He said, "I think I got one of those Jap planes. They were diving pretty close to us." But Dory Miller, he is known as considered the first African-American hero of World War II.
First African-American to receive the Navy Cross, too.
Yeah. So, interesting.
The other thing I noticed, too, is in 2010, Miller was the only enlisted man among four distinguished sailors from the 20th century honored by the panel of U.S. postage stamps.
Right.
And, you know, you do what you got to do, and he not only did he shoot down a plane or assume to shoot down, but he also saved his captain's life.
Yeah. His story is a lot like a lot of people that, you know, you talk about being a hero. And there's one in here about Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
And when he was asked later about, and he's maybe number 20, I think. I'd have to turn over there. But somebody asked him about, he's number 19. Somebody asked him about being a hero. He said, "It was an accident. They sank my boat."
Exactly. So. Just situation created the need, and,
right,
and you rose to that need.
Yeah. Situation. I like Alvin York. Now, he was number 4, and I actually did a whole broadcast on Alvin York one time. It's probably been a couple of years ago.
As Christians, he ought to really stand out to,
yeah,
us.
Yeah. Oh, I've got a book about, mm-hmm, his life. And he was a World War I hero. He and 7 other men captured 132 Germans. And, of course, he grew up turkey hunts and shooting a rifle and things.
In the movie with Gary Cooper, that's one of the things he does, is a turkey call to get a German to pop his head up and shoot him.
Yeah. And that's a good movie.
Yes, it is.
It is a very good movie. And but yeah, he was a dedicated Christian, and he at first didn't want to go to war.
Exactly.
He was going to be.
He went against the teaching of the Bible.
Yeah. And I think one of his officers took him aside and sent him home, told him to pray about it. And he went up into the mountain and, you know, just got alone with God and got to reading in the Bible. And he came down convinced that, you know, for the right cause, he would go to war. And he sort of had the sword of the Lord and of Gideon inspiration.
And knew for sure he was coming home.
That's right.
He makes the comment. He knew that for a fact that he was coming back.
Yeah. So I like him as far as a Christian, a hero. Have you got another one there?
Well, you know, one that you mentioned and said you didn't know about is kind of special is the four chaplains.
Right.
And I noticed you mentioned you didn't know much about it. In February, they do a lot of services for, because that's about the time the Dorchester was sunk. But, and again, from the Christian side, here we have a priest, a rabbi, and two reverends on this ship. And, you know, you think about sacrifice, well, you think about being in the middle of battle and, you know, giving all that you got. Well, in their case, it wasn't a battle. Their ship was sunk. And they were going down, and there weren't enough life jackets on the ship. And each one of them gave up their jacket to somebody else. And out of 902 people on the ship, only 230 survived. And many of them came back and reported the last thing they saw of the four chaplains was standing on the stern of the ship, arms locked together in prayer, given thanks as the ship went down.
Right.
They sacrificed their lives for people they didn't even know.
That story touched me. I'd never heard of it. Mm-hmm. But it took place February 3rd, 1943. These army chaplains, and just like you were talking about, and there is today a chapel, the chapel of four chaplains in the Philadelphia Navy Yard, where the Chapel Memorial Foundation honors acts of selfless service nationwide in memory of the four chaplains and crew of the USAT Dorchester. I'd never heard of that.
Oh, yeah.
And
actually, I'd never heard of it until I joined the American Legion.
Right.
And Earl Moritz, who was the commander of the Legion for about 20-some years, mentioned it to me one day, and I went, what are you talking about?
Yeah, you should know. You were in the Navy.
Right. That should be one of your stories. So he brought me a little pamphlet on them.
Yeah.
And as a matter of fact, I've preached a couple sermons on the selflessness of these four chaplains.
Right.
At that time.
Would you share your notes?
Well, you know, basically what you do is you just take each one of them and you give a little history.
Right.
Of their background. The priest was the oldest. He'd actually, I believe, served in World War I. And then went into the priesthood. And then when World War II broke out, he signed up. And they really kind of tried to discourage him because they called him the old man.
Yeah.
But he continued on. The rabbi's parents were supportive, but they were really hoping he would change his mind. But he felt like the same thing, that, you know, there were a lot of chaplains going over, but there weren't a whole lot of Jewish chaplains at that time because of World War II. And what was happening in Europe with Jewish people.
Right.
And then the two reverends were, they were more of the cut-up guys and who just saw a need.
Yeah.
And thought that they could help. Not so much as far as fighting, but at least be there for their spiritual.
Right.
And to be honest, when you think about chaplains in the military going into war zones, and I don't mean that they sat out on ships or they sit back in a building someplace. Some of these chaplains are right on the front line without a weapon,
right,
except the Bible, with their sword. And they're willing to do that and lay their life on the line so these servicemen can have their spiritual need met.
Right.
So it's pretty impressive.
That is.
It's an awesome story, the four chaplains.
I'd never heard that before. Couple of the modern, the most recent ones I wanted to mention, Michael Murphy, and there's actually a book by Marcus Luttrell.
Yeah,
it's called The Lone Survivor, and so Michael Murphy, he gave his life, he's in Afghanistan, he put himself out in the open, and to make a call to get some help. And, of course, the movie Lone Survivor is about Marcus Luttrell. He retells the story, but Michael Murphy basically gave his life to save the rest of his team members. And he passed away June 28th, 2005. His dad said Michael was first and foremost a team player, part of a team of Navy SEALs. As much as he fought and died for his teammates, they fought and died for him. Therefore, I see Michael as that every man in our armed forces embodying service, spirit, honor, courage, and willingness to sacrifice for friends, teammates, and country. And so Michael Murphy, I wanted to mention him. And then Chris Kyle, he's number 15. I've talked about him here on the radio broadcast. He's America's most decorated sniper. And, he was actually shot in Texas after he'd got out of the service and everything. He's trying to help start a foundation to help veterans that were coming back. It had problems, and somebody just went off the deep end and killed him and another guy and stole their pickup truck. And but he's his pastor, Ed Young, said about him, there was no pretense, no personality to Chris Kyle. There was only the person, genuine, faithful, real. He had a sense of security and self-assuredness that are only found in a deep faith in Jesus Christ. And for that, we can all say thank you, Chris Kyle. So I wanted to mention him as well. Have you got one? Or?
Well, just my after the top 25, they go on and just list the from 26 on through 100. And there's a lot of other famous people and different things in there. But one of the names that jumped out at me was number 57. Number 57 is Rear Admiral Jeremiah Denton. He's a little personal to me because for 2 years, from 1975 to 1977, I was his driver. In during the early days of Vietnam, Admiral Denton was an A-6 driver, an A-6 pilot. Which if you watch Flight of the Intruder, that's what an A-6 is. It's a bomber that launches off the aircraft carrier. On his 13th mission, he was shot down. He spent 7 years and 7 months in various prisons in North Vietnam. Wow. If you watch the movie that they made about John McCain's life, in the background you can hear them announce his name or call his name to pick him up. He wrote a book called When Hell Was in Session. Hal Holbrook played him in the movie. It's an awesome story. One of the most humble, one of the most caring people that I've ever known. As a rear admiral, he was concerned about me as a lowly little E5 more than himself. And we spent a lot of time talking about his time as a POW. And I told him one time after reading the book, I said, Admiral, I don't think I could have done what you did. He looked at me, he said, you'd be surprised what you can do when it's put to you. He went on to become a U.S. Senator of the state of Alabama. He passed away last year at 89 years old.
Wow. But
it touched me that he made the top 100 in this magazine.
Huh. So. I had no idea. I read the names, but some of them I don't remember.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Or I've never heard of. Well, our time is quickly coming to an end today. But I appreciate you being with us. I appreciate glad you telling to. About that. Made me think about, I wanted to read one verse out of Hebrews chapter 2, verse 9. It said, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. And a lot of time you think about veterans and them sacrificing for a group of men or friends or a unit or whatever. But the Bible said Jesus tasted death for every man, every man. And that article had a lot about an every man. Yep. Jesus died for every man. And he's the greatest of all. So I appreciate Brother Rick coming and being with us today. This is a ministry of the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church, and you've been listening to the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast, and we hope you'll tune in next week at this same time and same place. God bless. Have a great day.